Haynesboro police officer Brayton Long is in stable condition in Seattle. And Skagway recruits writers from across the state for its annual spring symposium. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. A spokesperson from Harborview Medical Center said on Wednesday that Officer Brayton Long is listed in stable condition after accidentally shooting himself on Tuesday. Long shot himself in the lower arm while conducting firearms training at the shooting range out Mud Bay Road. Long was transported to the Haines Clinic before being medevaced to Harborview in Seattle for further treatment. According to Acting Police Chief Josh Dryden, no foul play is suspected. Dryden said after speaking with Long on Wednesday, he seemed to be doing fine under the circumstances. Dryden added that Long said the round didn't hit anything, quote, important. An investigation by Alaska State Troopers continues. Dryden said, just like with any accidental shooting, they have to make sure there were no other factors involved in the mishap. Long is the newest member of the Haines Police Department. He started a couple months ago after having worked in Skagway as a police officer for 5 years. Dryden said, quote, he's a great officer and an even better human being. There's no time frame yet for how long will need to recover. Dryden said that the Haines Police Department will work with state law enforcement agencies to fill in the gaps. Another option, he said, is to bring in an officer or two from other jurisdictions to fill in temporarily. Northwoods Writer Symposium organizers are seeking writers of all sorts for the May event in Skagway. The lineup of speakers is a who's who of Alaska and Northwest authors, journalists, and poets who are sure to inspire even neophyte word jockeys. There are a total of 50 spots available for the four-day workshop, and while some are spoken for, the Skagway Visitors Bureau hopes to fill it up in the next month or so. The keynote speaker this year is Brian Doyle. Doyle describes himself in many ways, including shuffling, mumbling, grumbling, muttering, muddled, and meandering. But he's penned 13 books and is the editor of Portland Magazine, so how muddled could he be? Doyle's latest novel, Chicago, is set for release this spring.
He's an author that Dan Henry has been trying to get up here for the symposium for many years, so we were very pleased when he finally accepted for this year.
That's Wendy Anderson at the Skagway Visitors Bureau. She says an impressive well of writers will accompany Doyle at the event, and with so many talented wordsmiths, Anderson says participants are sure to get their money's worth.
A lot of the camaraderie that comes out of this is very valuable, both for beginning authors and for experienced published authors. We've had John Straley attending for the entire 7 years that this has been going on, and it just provides a wonderful opportunity for them to connect with other authors and to really discuss the craft in great detail.
Among the returning authors this year are Kim Hecox and Haines's Heather Lendy. Hecox's new novel, Jimmy Bluefeather, was released in September, followed a short time later by The National Parks, an Illustrated History. And Lendy's Find the Good, Unexpected Life Lessons from a Small-Town Obituary Writer, came out in April. Besides Straley, returning faculty includes University of Alaska Southeast professor and poet Emily Wall and Lynn Schooler, author of the acclaimed The Blue Bear. Chickaloon author Eowyn Ivey is also on the roster. Her first book, The Snow Child, made the shortlist for the 2013 Pulitzer Prize. Each year, participants run the gamut from rookies to pros. Anderson says this symposium has something for everyone.
The conference provides pretty much whatever you want to get out of it. If you want to be able to read your work, there's a session where you can do participant readings. But we also have a lot of people attend who are very early into their writing craft, and the idea of getting up in front of a group of people and sharing their work makes them very nervous. You don't have to do that.
During the conference, participants and faculty will take a ride on the White Pass Railroad to the Lawton Glacier Trailhead. There, they can choose a guided hike to the glacier or a short walk to a rustic cabin for a uniquely Alaskan writing experience. On another day, symposium participants are shuttled to a cookout party at Alderworks Alaska Writers and Artists Retreat near Dyea. Registration includes most meals, including a reception and banquet. All that and more for $375. Ann Anderson says it's not just the multitude of talented authors that draw would-be writers, it's the setting.
Our first two people who registered this year have never been to Alaska, and part of the appeal of people attending this symposium is that it's in a wild, fun, exciting place.
There are still about 40 spots left, but Anderson says waiting until the last minute is kind of the Alaska way, so she expects it to fill up. The Northwoods Writers Symposium happens from May 25th to the 28th. Credit hours may be earned through UAS. Go to nwritersS.com or call the Skagway Convention and Visitors Bureau at 983-2854 for more information. In just over a week, Yukon wildlife officials have killed four wolves in the Whitehorse area. The wolves were exhibiting unusual behavior and raising concerns. CBC Yukon's Cheryl Kawaja reports from Whitehorse.
Caitlin Halleckman is a new mom and pet owner. She usually walks the trails around Porter Creek, but not lately.
I've been avoiding the green space a little bit, just with the newborn and only one dog, because we do normally walk our dogs at night.
Like other neighbors, she's being cautious because of wolves frequenting the area, and not only in the woods. Wolves have been walking down streets, even in people's yards. Chris Gustafson is with Environment Yukon.
In our view, the wolves have become habituated to living in a residential area, and that raises the concern for us substantially.
So far, four wolves have been killed.
Unfortunately, in this case, we felt the risks were not tolerable anymore.
He believes there are a couple more wolves that belong to the same pack still out there. For now, conservation officers will monitor. Cameras have been set up. Cheryl Kawaja, CBC News, Whitehorse.
The Wrangell Fish and Game Advisory Committee met Monday night and discussed its continuing effort to change a moose antler regulation affecting local hunters. This could potentially impact Haines hunters as well. Last year, the Alaska Board of Game rejected the committee's proposal to redefine points for forked moose antlers for the registration hunt near Wrangell, Petersburg, and Cake. Since then, the Wrangell Committee has amended its proposal in hopes of getting it passed when the Board of Game meets again in March. The new version would modify the statewide definition of a moose antler. The new proposal states, quote, antler projections originating within 2 inches of the base of the antler and less than 3 inches in length will not be counted as a tine. Those small points would not be counted in making a moose illegal. Wrangell Committee Chair Chris Guggenbickler says the new version of the proposal is more specific than the one that was rejected last year.
There was a worst case scenario put in before that had a point sticking out about 8 inches from the base, and that was never our intent that something like that would pass. But we just don't want a legal hunter to get a ticket for something that they can't see that's not above the hairline or the ear.
Committee members argue points that are small can be very different for a hunter to see if they're hidden by the hair or the ear of the moose, and therefore should not be counted. More illegal moose were taken in the Petersburg-Wrangell area last year than any other year of the hunt. In Haines this year, of the 24 moose harvested, 2 were sublegal. Guggenbickler says moose antlers can be more irregular in the Wrangell and Petersburg area than in other parts of the state, but the same holds true for most of Southeast.
There's always been that argument that our moose are a subclass or that we have different vegetation and our horns don't grow the same.
Committee members are planning to talk with other advisory committees across the state about how this proposal can help hunters. The Wrangell Advisory Committee will continue to review game proposals later this month. Ferry fares went up 5% for most routes on January 1st. The increase is for new reservations. Those made before January will not change. The hike comes on the heels of a 4.5% increase that began in May. Alaska Marine Highway spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says higher fares are part of a larger effort to increase earnings and decrease expenses.
The Marine Highway System's cost recovery for its revenues is much lower than it has been in the past. And if you look at the fact that the fares have not been increased in the last 7-8 years, that could be one reason to point to that.
Low oil prices drove service cuts already in place for the winter. More extreme reductions listed in the governor's budget are slated for July. The legislature could cut service further. Not all marine highway routes are seeing price hikes. Woodrow says those that are disproportionately higher will remain the same, at least for now.
Once we are closer to that, then the marine highway system can begin formalizing its rates based on route mileage, ridership, as well as, you know, you can include items such as disembarking and embarking fees and have a more formalized system.
The increases stem in part from a rate or tariff study released a little more than a year ago. The new fares are integrated into the Marine Highways reservation system, though no full list has been published. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.